One note at the front edge. If you are in an abusive relationship, you want to be very careful with the way that you apply what we're going to be speaking about today. All right? If you're in an abusive relationship, or you think it might be, you need to come to us. We're here for you. Okay? So be very careful, and we're going to be talking about servanthood. We are not saying for a lady that's abused to continue to empower your abuser. That's not what we're saying. All right? This is for normal relationships in business, in society, in family, and in church. Okay? The Bible's got a lot to say about a lot of things. It doesn't say everything about everything in one passage. All right? Pretty good with that? So just a note, be careful in abusive relationships in applying what we're talking about today. With that, let's talk about what we want everyone else to do. Everybody good with that? I think that's a great topic. Let's talk today about what we want everybody else to do. And that would be the word serve. Aren't we good with that? I'm good with that. If I have everybody around me serving me as I climb the top of the pile in family, in church, and in business, and in society, and that's just how I'm wired in my fallen nature. There's something in the image of God on the inside that goes, that's got to be something wrong about that, but whatever. Let's just go with it, all right? And so if we just kind of default to what is natural in the fallen nature, nothing of what I'm saying today makes any sense whatsoever. I get that. But there's still something in the image of God on the inside of you. And if you've been made alive, regenerated by Jesus Christ, then everything will make sense as we look at it, though it will be difficult. So in the natural realm, we want everyone else to serve as we climb to the top of the pile. In the greatest organization, the largest, the most powerful, the one eternal organization in the world, it is the exact opposite of what I just spoke about. It's the exact opposite of my nature. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Here's a summary of the church. Through love, serve one another. There it is. That's the church. That should be marriage. It should be family. And that's certainly the church. And quite frankly, there's something about that that works in business as well, never mind government. All right? So we can think about the huge ramifications of that. But that's given to the church to be a model. Indeed, the church, or I could put it this way, in the church, the servants are the leaders. Does that make any sense at all? Show me a servant, and that's a person that God is working into leadership. The servants are the leaders. The leaders are servants. Unless the church is corrupt, or to whatever degree it's corrupt, and you need to examine this church and with that principle. At the bottom of the pile are the elders. We've talked about them, chapter 3, verse 1 and following in 1 Timothy. Next, near the bottom of the pile are the deacons. That's who we're talking about right now. Diakonos is the Greek word for servant. It's just simply translated servant. Even in your Bible, usually it's simply translated servant, not transliterated deacon, only in a couple places, all right? Because it means servant. It's kind of interesting. One of the two offices, if you will, in the church is the office of servant, and the other office is about servants to those servants. So think about that. And on this platform are gifted followers of Christ who are given gifts to serve one another. Whatever talents and abilities and resources we have, they're a gift from God or a stewardship entrusted to us to stand on the platform of the elders and the deacons that we might serve one another. The whole church is about servanthood. And so let's talk about the word servant leader for a moment. Very popular phrase. You can read almost any of the business gurus on how to run your business today and what works and what doesn't work. It's kind of interesting how biblical principle works in business, isn't it? Okay, so you listen to the guru. Oftentimes, and I've listened to a number of the secular gurus on business, and sometimes I think I'm listening to a pastor, because many of them are using biblical principle that they've discovered. So servant leadership is a popular term is it a term in government? Tell me it is. Our government leaders are servants, right? They see themselves as public servants. Is that right? Help me out here. I'm not hearing much. There's got to be some that are that way, all right? At least there's lip service paid, because we know it's the right thing to do in all realms. And so the church is an example to the marriages that are watching and the families that are watching, and it's an example to society, including business. Now, here's the question I want us to get our wheels going on. Servant leader. Think about those two words. Servant leader. Upon which word are you focused? That's the question. I'm a leader. I'm a servant. Which word better identifies my identity, how I see myself? Which word am I really pursuing? Mr. Business Owner, which word are you pursuing? How do you, when you walk into your business that you own, which word are you focused on? You got to lead. But what's the focus in your heart? What's your identity when you walk onto the job site? Upon which word am I focused? Let me give us a little test at the front end. I know we got to get to Scripture. We're going to, but I just want to get the wheels turning here. Here's a couple questions to ask to maybe answer that question. When I wake up in the morning, am I looking to serve? Am I looking for ways to serve? The moment I wake up, my spouse, my family, whoever else. For some of us, it's a definite yes, and that's great. When I get in the car to drive to work, am I looking to serve other drivers on the way to work and society? Or is it about me getting into that slot, beating the other guy out? When I drive, do I see myself as a servant, looking to serve? When I arrive at work, whatever my position, my peers, people that I'm overseeing, people that are above, am I looking to serve them? The clients of the business, am I looking to serve them? Or are they a pain in the neck? When I go shopping on the way home, here's a tough one, right? Am I looking to serve others in the store? Do I see myself as a servant? With my time at home, when I arrive home at the end of the day, am I looking to serve? With my time and my resources, just in general, am I looking to serve with those things? And here it gets a little deeper for Christians. With the truth, am I looking to serve? Or do I hold back truth that others need to hear in love because I want to be liked by everybody? Hello? You know you need to share something with a friend in love, with humility, or in life group, or from this pulpit, and yet you go, yeah, but if I do, they're not going to possibly like me as much. My popularity might go down. Who am I serving? These things really help. The gospel, Easter time, good time to invite, to talk to your neighbor. But I can't, because what if they defriend me? What if my popularity goes down? I'm labeled a Jesus freak or whatever the going terms are today. Who am I serving? So with all those things, we want to be humble, we want to be careful, you know. But when we think through the difficult issues of truth and the gospel, who really do we have in mind? Here's the bottom line on all this. Am I focused by the grace of God on the well-being of others, especially the spiritual well-being, but the whole well-being. Am I focused on the well-being of others, or is this life, quite frankly, about me going to the top of the pile when I drive to work and others can get below me? What's my identity? Upon what word am I focused? And we're all somewhere in that continuum. We have some of the greatest servants in the world in this church. I was talking to a man last night that I admire so. And we have a number of men and women that are this way, that they've given up in the senior years. Things happen to a spouse. We have couples that give up everything to focus on their spouse. They're the ultimate servants here. I want you to watch them. And we got other great servants as well. I watch our moms and our dads. Servants. And so we got it going on, but I'm still asking the tough questions that convict me to death. All right? And we're all on that continuum somewhere. When we go to a restaurant, watch a waiter. If they're good, if they're doing their job, if they're not overrun, they periodically come up and go, "Is there anything I can do for you? Anything more I can do for you?" That's what waiters do. Is that how I see myself? In every realm of society? A waiter? A servant? So those are convicting questions, I admit. The paradox is serving produces greatness and confidence. And so again, as we did last week, look at the last verse of 1 Timothy 3 verses 8 through 13. Notice, or 15, I guess it is, 13. These glasses aren't that good either. Those who have served well as deacons obtain for them. Now, deacon means servant. And this is an office, but it's an office to exemplify, to set an example of what it is to be a servant. These are the servants that are identified in the church as consistent in their servanthood and have the qualities we're going to talk about in just a moment. So those who serve, we could simply say it this way, those who serve well obtain for themselves a good standing, Greek word good standing and great confidence in the faith. So greatness comes through serving. Jesus has made that plain as well. And this, again, works in business, and it works in every realm of society. With that, let's go ahead and dig into the qualities. You say, well, enough said, I'll go out and try to serve. That's good. That's good. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want me to do. That's what I want us to do. It's all about the welfare of others. But there are qualities that the Lord wants us to have that He blesses as we attempt this endeavor in servanthood. And again, deacons are an example to our congregation of how it's done, how these qualities are lived out, and how service is done. And elders need to be the ultimate examples of this, all right? So let's go ahead and go through these qualities. We covered the first four last time, so I'll mention them. Deacon, this is verse 8. Deacons likewise, and we insert the words must be because we bring those in from the beginning of the passage. Elders, it is necessary for them to be. Deacons, it is necessary for them to be. All right? So these are necessary qualities is the idea. Number one, men of dignity. Greek word has to do with seriousness. They take other people seriously. They take the image of God seriously. They take the issues of others seriously. Now, they can joke around, but they know when to be serious and what to be serious about. Obviously, serious about deity, the things of deity, the image of God in others, truth and applied truth, all of that. They're serious about those things. Therefore, they're respecting others. They're respecting God. Therefore, they are respectable. Everybody good? All right. So we got to ask, am I a person of dignity, of respect? I'm just going to use the word respect. Dignity kind of, I think, freaks most of us out, right? So I'm putting number one, they are respectable because they respect. All right? Number two, this is by way of review. Number two, not double-tongued. They're genuine. They'll say the same thing here as they say there. They're genuine people. They think before they speak, and what they speak, you can trust them on. So they're genuine. Respectable, genuine. Number three, They are not addicted to much wine. I think that also means not addicted to a little bit of wine also. They're not addicted to wine. The idea is they are sober. They're not under the influence, unless they've been in an accident or something like that, and they need a little bit. They're not under the influence. They're staying sober so they can listen for the voice of God and make good, sound judgments. All right? And we talked about that last time. And then number four, they're not fond of sordid gain. The Greek word is they're not shamefully greedy. We might look at Acts 6 momentarily if that was the embryo of deacons, and they're handling money to help other people in some way. You don't want to be thinking, are they skimming the pot, right? Okay, they've got to be guys that are content. So I'm going to use the word content. We talked about that last time, and this is where we pick it up today. So far, following their example, am I respectable? Am I genuine? Would people label me as genuine? Would people label me as sober? Would people label me as content, no matter how much money is coming in or not coming in? All right. Then next, this is where we pick it up today, verse 9, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Probably the best passage you can jot down on that would be Ephesians and chapter 2, verse 11 and following, or just all, we'll just say all of chapter 2 and all of chapter 3. Just to make it super simple, okay? Chapter 3 really brings up the concept of mystery. And the idea is, it's what is true in Christ, primarily that I am united to Christ. And if you're a believer and you're purple, I'm red, and this other guy is green, if we're united to Christ, we're united to each other. So Jews and Gentiles and everybody are inseparably united to one another in the mind of God once they trust Christ. It is, in essence, it's mystery in the sense that it was spoken about and alluded to much in the Old Testament, but we see it to be true in Christ today. So we didn't really totally get all that in the Old Testament. Today we get it. You could just insert really the word New Testament. These are New Testament believers. You can make it super simple and insert that. I'm going to be really simple. I'm going to say, because the New Testament's built on the Old, and all of it's good, and the mystery comes from the Old. That was their Bible at the time. I'm just going to use the word biblical. These guys are biblical. They got basic scripture lined up. They understand the fullness of life in Christ. All right? And that's the way you want to be. That's the way I want to be. We want to be biblical. That's why we're pleading with you constantly. Study God's word verse by verse by verse, one book at a time. Let us help you with that. Everybody needs to be doing that so as you don't miss stuff. And then focus on the stuff you don't like. Not the stuff you already have underlined. Everybody good? All right? Be biblical. And that's again, all of these are qualities we're growing in. Verse 10, I'm going to use the word proven here. Verse 10, let those first, these who are going to be, we're going to lay hands on them and point people to them as our example servants. That's what a deacon is. They're identified by the church, voted on by the church as an example servant. We'll get the model for that momentarily. These guys, before you lay hands on them, everybody goes, that's an example servant. Verse 10, let these first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, servants, if they are beyond reproach. That doesn't mean perfect. It means that these things are, we can say these things are true in their life. This is the direction of their life. They're respectable, they're genuine, they're sober, they're content, they're biblical. We can say these things are true in their life. Okay, those guys, after a period of everybody watching them, no amount of time is given, then lay hands on them and point everybody in the church to them as examples. All right, everybody good? So proven is verse 10. Verse 11, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Next verse, let deacons be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. So what do we got going on here? Obviously, this is a debated passage. It's debated because we want to have female deacons in this day and age and not be repressive. Therefore, we must make this somehow say these are female deacons. I have included for you a little word. If you look at this, look at verse 11. Women, and I've included the word, I think I put the word gune in there. Right? Okay, yeah, okay. So I want you to notice very carefully, this is a huge point so that we're in unity, or at least we understand the old boy that's talking, representing the elders. Verse 11, the word women, just put the word gune in there, okay? Just circle, just underline that. Just think, I know it's a weird word. The word, if you just saw it in the Greek language at this day and time, it could be translated equally wife or woman. There wasn't a separate word. Sorry about that, okay? There just wasn't. Okay, so it depends on the context as to how you translate. Is it wife or is it woman? It's that simple, all right? So just put the word gune for verse 11, and then in verse 12, again, put the word gune. I've already written it in, but circle it, underline it, star it. Everybody got it? All right, so notice the natural flow of thought that's going on here. Verse 11, gunes must be, and it lists some qualifications. Verse 12, deacons, back to deacons now, they're listed in verse 8, now they're listed again. Deacons must be husbands of only one gune. What's the natural flow? Gune must be, and some qualifications are listed, then goes back to deacons. Deacons must be the husbands of only one gune. And then the last one is, they need to be good managers of their families. So the natural flow of thought, if you didn't have a dog in the hunt, if you didn't force this to mean female deacons, because that's what you want to see, if you're just an academic, just looking at this, you didn't care how it came out, you're just being just really objectively honest, how would you translate this? It's obviously wives. Or you could say wives and helpers of deacons, if you wanted to stretch it, okay? To push it into female deacons, he could have made it plain. Now I'm moving to talk about female deacons. He didn't do that, okay? So I'm just giving you, would we divide over another church that have female deacons? No, probably most evangelical churches have female deacons. I don't have a real big issue with that, as long as they're not teaching and exercising authority over men, the previous passage we looked at before looking at deacons when we were looking at elders, okay? So if they're not in that kind of a role, it's truly a servant role, and they have female deacons, I get it. I get that they're forced there by the culture. We're just uncomfortable because academically it just doesn't seem, it seems like that's something we're forcing. And so we're still listening. When I say we, the elders, leaders, we're still listening, okay? And we're in a minority. I don't think it's a small minority, but I think we're in a minority, okay? So right now we don't in Crosspoint have female deacons. Not to say that we're hyper-dogmatic about it at all. I'm just giving you the rationale, okay? It just seemed this is a very masculine passage, and it goes from deacons now to gune, verse 11, and then verse 12 goes back to deacons. And then these last three things are deacons and their households. So for right now, and again, if you wanted to debate us on this, I'd be glad to do that. I want to listen to you. But verse 11, for right now, just due to the clock, and this isn't seminary class, number 7 would be, number 6 is they must be proven. Number 7 is they must have a faithful wife, okay? It at least, I think, has to mean that. So they have to have a faithful wife. In what way? Well, 4 things. Dignified, that's the same as them in verse 8, men of dignity, and here the wives need to be dignified as well. Same thing, same, exactly the same word. So they both need to take serious things seriously and take people seriously and respect others. Number 7, I'm sorry, this is all part of 7, we'll call it B. not malicious gossip. Does that mean they can gossip in a non-malicious way? The Greek word is simply one word. It's diabolos, all right, which we typically translated devils. They can't be devil-like. All right, it's just one word. And for some reason, the translators use two words, malicious gossips. Well, all gossip is malicious, okay? So, I mean, you're harming other people with gossip, okay? What does the devil do? He slanders the saints. That's what he is all about. So they can't be slanderers. They can't be gossips at all. Nobody should be in the church, obviously. It's completely condemned, Old Testament and New Testament alike, okay? So you don't want the wives to be gossips. They might hear certain things about people because the people are being helped with finance, that kind of thing. You don't want wives spreading the information, obviously, or female helpers of deacons spreading information they shouldn't be spreading. I think that's pretty obvious, okay? So they got to be serious. They got to take serious things seriously and people seriously. They can't be gossips. The next one, C, they need to be temperate, and that's the same as elders are called to. That means clear-headed, okay, which is kind of like not being drunk with wine. There's parallels between each of them. A, B, and C go with 1, 2, and 3 above. And then, so you want them to be clear-headed, is the idea with temperate. Think clearly. They can't be, you know, dingbats. Where'd that word come from? Chuck, I don't remember the last time I heard that word. I have no idea where that came from. You know, they can't be dingy, okay? They got to be, I'm getting myself in trouble. Not that any of our ladies are that way. None of them are. Not even tending that way. So dignified, not gossips, temperate, clear-headed, alert is the idea. And you can listen to the sermon from 2 weeks ago on that. And then faithful in all things. That's just that general phrase. It's like number 5 for the deacons. You know, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Here it's the same thing. Just in the things of Christ, you want them to be faithful. Okay? So that would be, I think what's being spoken about here is the wives of deacons and female helpers of deacons. You say, well, where does that come in? Hang on to that thought. Verse 12, let deacons also be husbands of only one wife. This is the same as the elders in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 3. Let them, it's literally, be one woman men. I am not going to go through all of that again. You can listen to the sermon from about, I think it's 3 weeks ago, we talked about that. Let them be one woman men. That means it's a guy, his conviction is one man, one woman, that's it. He doesn't have eyes. He has a covenant with his eyes to focus only on his wife. If he's a single guy, then he's going to teach and believe in one man, one woman. We have some wonderful men that might lose their wives. They are still one woman men because they have shown a commitment to one woman throughout their Christian life, all right? And so you can listen to that from a file about 3 sermons ago. And then number 9, good managers of their children and their household. Good rulers or managers is the Greek term. So the last 3 have to do with their wives. You want them to be faithful. Then you want them to be faithful husbands would be number 8. And then you want them to be faithful dads. So have faithful wives, be faithful husbands, be faithful dads. All right, that's what we're looking for in these example servants. Is there anything above the bar for most Christians? No, this is just general for an office. That we call deacon, an example servant. This is just general, this is Christianity 101. But God has drawn our attention to these specific things. If we're going to serve well, these need to be in our lives. And they apply to women to whatever degree. You can figure that out pretty easily, okay? All right, so let me draw your attention to a couple of passages that have the word diakonos, either as a noun or a verb in it. This is not all the passages, this is a few of them. The only other passage in the Bible that we know, that we're sure, refers to this position or office of deacon. The only other passage is Philippians chapter 1. That's it. That's all we got. So there's no job description. We assume it means they need to be servants, serving however, whatever the needs are. And that's how we use them here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ, to all of the saints, that would be all the believers in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Kind of nice to know that the overseers and deacons are also included as saints. Saints are those made holy by the blood of Christ. All right? And so that's the only, I throw it in because it's the only other passage we have. That's it. That's everything. That's everything there is to say. That's it. You can be an absolute expert on deacons by those two passages. Now, there's two others that might be referring to deacons. And let's go ahead and turn our attention there. Acts chapter 5, it's going to be Acts chapter 6, but Acts chapter 5 kind of picks it up. This is the history of the early church. And in Acts chapter 5, we've got seven, or in chapter 6, I should say, we've got seven guys chosen to deacon. The verb is used, but the noun, the office, isn't. But the verb is used, so maybe this is an embryo of deacons, possibly. What's happening at the end of chapter 5 is the apostles, every day, verse 42, in the temple, big group, and house to house. They're teaching and preaching Christ. All right? Then chapter 6, verse 1, the next verse says this. All of a sudden, a complaint arises that some of the non-Jewish widows were being overlooked in this daily serving of food, basically meeting their needs. Remember, 3,000 folks, and now it's higher at this point, 3,000 folks get saved. They don't go back home to their home countries. They stay right there in Jerusalem. So many of them are, they're having to move in together. They're having to share everything. You read about that at the end of chapter 2, chapter 4 as well. And among them, apparently, were going to be some widows, probably a lot of widows, most likely. And so the apostles took it upon themselves, evidently, to kind of manage, give oversight to that. They probably didn't do all of the stuff, but they had the oversight, and they're going, this isn't working. And so they got the congregation together, and they go, it's not right for us to neglect the Word of God and teaching it and applying it to serve tables. That word serve in verse 2, you see right there, is the Greek word for deacon, serve. And so we want you to select. We think seven guys can oversee this well. They're not going to do everything. They're going to oversee it. Make sure they have a good reputation. We talked about that back in 2 weeks ago in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 3. It's a good witness. A good witness. These guys are a good witness in the community. They're witnessing. A lot of people may hate them, but they're good witnesses. They represent Christ well, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now this is huge. If this is the embryo of deacons, this next phrase is huge. We usually miss it. This is the end of verse 3. Guys who are good witnesses, obviously led by the Spirit of God, and they're developing wisdom because they're men of the Word, who we may put, what does that say? In charge of this task. The church needs men who are not doing as much as leading. And these are deacons. We don't elect deacons to do everything. We elect deacons to lead everything the church needs. Does that make sense? They're leaders, which might be a hint why it's male in nature in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I don't allow a woman in the church to teach or exercise authority over men, but in that matter to remain quiet. So if these are the embryo of deacons, and it's a reasonable guess that they are put in charge. They're given oversight over all these physical things to help families out, to help, here is widows specifically, and that's the top of the list here in this church as well. So to help meet all these needs so that the leadership, the elders are here, it's the apostles, elders will be brought in later, are free to minister the word, both on the street and to the congregation. This sounded good to them, and the congregation put forward seven guys. that met the qualifications. So everybody agreed. These are seven guys. They laid their hands on them. They began leading in this ministry. If this is the embryo of deacons, deacons are leaders. They need to do, but they're primarily leadership. Everybody good? That's why they have to have that wisdom. They need to be biblical. All right? We're close to time. Let me draw your attention to another passage. By the way, that passage, I included some more verbiage. The idea is Stephen is an example, verse 8, of the kind of guy that they were looking for. Stephen wasn't some guy that all he could do was mop floors. That's not Stephen. He's one of the guys, and he was powerful in the word. He was a great witness to the place where they took him, the leadership of the time, the Supreme Court of the time in that area there in Jerusalem, and they killed him. They hated him so much. All right? Solid witness for Christ. All right? So deacons are not these wimpy little guys. The deacons, not all of them need to be like Stephen, but he's an example of a solid deacon. Next verse I want to draw your attention to. Again, we're pretty close to time, but Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25 and following. I want to draw our attention here because this is what Easter's all about. Jesus is looking at the boys. He's on the way to the cross in chapter 20 of Matthew, and he's going, you know how the world operates. Everybody's climbing to the top of the pile. That was our introduction, okay? It's not going to be that way with you guys. Whoever wishes to be great, and there's nothing wrong with that, otherwise you want to be mediocre or terrible, those who wish to be great, you want to be used in a great way by God, need to be the servant, need to be the deacon. Those who would be first need to be the doulos, the slave. For even the Son of Man, referring to himself, didn't come to be served, to climb to the top of the pile, but to serve, to go to the bottom of the pile, and to give his life a ransom for the many, the ultimate sacrifice. If you were to ask Jesus, what is your identity, leader or servant? What would he respond? What's your response? What's my response? Romans chapter 13, verse 3, government rulers are called to be deacons. See it there? They are ministers of God, deacons of God. Matt's a deacon. Wears a uniform. Okay? Pretty good? Next one, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Christ has become a deacon. He's a servant. Next passage, where am I at here? Backside of your bulletin. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Oh, here we go. We got to translate this one, deacon, here, because this is a lady. So we have no choice. This is our text, okay? And so, verse 1, I commend to you, Paul writing to the church in Rome, our sister Phoebe, who is a servant. No, wait. We got to translate that deacon of the church which is in Cenchrea. Well, why would we translate that deacon? Because we want to. We'll come back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos? He's a preacher, by the way. And Paul? They are deacons. So they call themselves deacons, servants. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, Epaphras is a faithful deacon. He's a preacher. He's the pastor of the church, or one of the key elders in the church in Colossae, and he's called a deacon, a servant. And then Timothy, last passage you have, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good deacon. Now, the title is not used for any of those guys, and there's a lot of other, it's about 25 passages, I think, roughly, where the noun and the verb is used, of diakonos. Nowhere do we translate it deacon except where it needs to be, which is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, our passage, and obviously Philippians chapter 1. That's it. Every other time it's used, it's just translated servant, the way it's intended to be used, except we have to insert it with Romans chapter 16, verse 1, because we have to have a text pointing to, see, Phoebe was a deacon. No, she was a servant. And it's to be translated with her like you translated every other place, even of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. So again, we're not going to divide with other churches that have female deacons. I'm just giving you the rationale, just the academic rationale why we are not ready for this yet. You need to educate us a little further than we're educated right now and say us, the elders, okay? Everybody good? Once again, a good time had by all. Bottom line, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Through love, serve one another. That's a church. That's marriage. That's the family. That's the church. And you will do well in business if you have that attitude as well. Put your business model around what we're talking about today. You will do well. Be a servant to your clients. Be a servant to the folks below you, above you, beside you. You're there to serve, and that's the best way for your business to go well and for you to truly be trusted and admired and respected and listened to as a leader. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that your biblical principles work in every realm of life. But thank you for making it clear that we are to be servants in the church, that we are to model this for the rest of society, certainly marriage. And Father, we pray that if in any way in me, in the elders, in the deacons, if we're trending any direction away from the identity of servant, that you'd bring a heavy conviction by your Spirit and also use others to have the courage to bring correction or at least draw attention. Father, thank you that you serve us, which again just seems almost like a blasphemous statement, but Christ is God in humanness who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for the many. God came to serve, not be served, and go all the way to giving his life a ransom, a payment for the sin of all the rest of us. Jesus, thank you for your blood applied. In Jesus' name, amen. We've gone through the gospel. If you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, please come up here. If you want prayer regarding absolutely anything, someone to talk to, someone to give you a hug, whatever it is, leaders, male and female, be watching for you. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.